Potion level, solution. Strength, weak. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Will restore 49 health points over 20 seconds. You have found Iron Axe of Strength. Damage, 11 to 17. Durability, 23 of 25. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 7.2 kilograms. Traits, plus 1 to strength. Requires strength 13. Remembering the black sludge that had come off the bear from one death spell, Richter shuddered, thinking of what would have happened if the staff's special ability had struck him. Telling Sion the properties of each, the sprite spit on the floor upon hearing of the staff's true identity.
We should destroy this evil thing. For some reason, I can't stand the sight of it.
How? Richter asked. Do I snap it over my knee? I somehow don't think that would work.
Unfortunately, we most likely do not have the strength. Even if we did, it is not wise to tamper with the inner working of magical objects without the proper knowledge. Will you bring it back to the hearth tree so that the mother can dispose of it?
You have been offered a quest. Destroy evil's weapon. Sion has had an extreme reaction to the Staff of Decay. He hates it so much he can only think of destroying it. The sprite has requested your help carrying it back to the hearth tree so that Hisako can destroy it. Reward unknown. Yes or no? Richter barely gave it a thought before nodding his assent. Though he and Sion had had a rocky start, to say the least, the sprite was a comrade. He would trust his companion's judgment. Focusing on what was in front of him, Richter looked at the axe, wondering about the strength requirement. He had already used it to sever the chief's head. It just didn't make logical sense to him that a simple item had a requirement. Picking it up, he took a practice swing and felt immediately off balance. Taking a few more, he stumbled, disoriented. The last swing came dangerously close to cutting Sion. In the face of the glare he received from the diminutive man, he sheepishly placed the axe back down on the floor. Well, no point arguing with facts. This axe was just not for him. The sprite had shown no interest in loot, but Richter remembered the large amount of damage the thrown warrior's dagger had caused. Picking up the bracelet, he handed it to Sion. The sprite initially looked like he would refuse, but Richter said, "You are a great warrior, my friend, but I seriously doubt this will be the last battle we are in. You have to grow stronger and survive. This will help." After a small protest, the sprite thanked him and slid the bracelet onto his arm up to his forearm. Richter couldn't be sure, but it looked like the jewelry shrunk slightly on Sion's wrist. The sprite immediately stood a bit taller, and it seemed he had somewhat greater tone and definition than a moment before. Placing the money in his pouch, Richter picked up a second pouch that had belonged to the hobgoblin and slid the potions into it. Picking up the staff, he felt revulsion. It was like holding a writhing snake. He dropped it quickly. Cutting a length of cloth from the hobgoblin's clothes, he wrapped it around the staff, which greatly lessened the feeling of revulsion, but didn't banish it completely. Turning to Futin, he said, "Have the workers collect all of the other items and lay them aside. I will review them upon returning from the hearth tree."
"Is there anything else you would like to have done, my lord?"
"I need to know what other resources there are available. I need to know what we can use to build the village."
"I will search the boundaries of the village and this level. Without your presence, I can go no further than the boundaries of what you have laid claim to, my lord. You will need to explore and vanquish any enemies in the lower levels if you wish to know what other powers and riches may exist in the catacombs."
That had been the answer to Richter's question. Apparently, the place of power was home to monsters. Through the millennia, creatures of various types had filled the underground levels. It was unclear if the place of power had created the monsters, or if there were other entrances to the underground levels and they had moved in. What was clear was that the catacombs under his feet were not safe. Luckily, the mosaic in the chamber they were in, which Futin had named the Great Seal, stopped any monsters from venturing up from the catacombs below.
"Well then, the only other obvious point," Richter said, "is that it's a bit grandiose to call this pile of rocks a village. Can the workers build some houses and clear away some rubble?"
"The workers are only the most basic of creatures, my lord. They will follow any direction, but only exactly as it is given. They lack any real intelligence. Complex tasks, such as building a house, will be beyond them, Futin replied.
Very well. Have them gather stones and sort them by size and type into different piles. Also, have them chop down trees that have grown inside the boundaries of the village and stack them. Finally, have them dig a trench around the area outside of the boundary of the village.
Turning to leave, a last thought occurred to him. Pulling out the clear gem he had taken from the goblin chief's body,
"What is this?"
"That is the heart crystal, Lord Richter. It is the embodiment of your dominion over these lands and the source of your connection to the village."
"Does that mean if someone takes it from me, suddenly they own the village?" Richter asked, with some alarm in his voice.
"In its current state, yes, but you can bind yourself to the stone. By doing that, you and your bloodline will be tied to this village and the powers that it resides upon. You will also be granted the powers inherent in the crystal."
"What powers?"
"Each place of power has certain characteristics depending on the composition of ley lines that creates it. As I stated before, this village sits upon a strong collection of air, water, dark, and life ley lines. Binding the heart crystal will tie your soul to the place of power. By fulfilling certain requirements, you will obtain mastery of each of those powers in turn."
"Tied to his soul, huh? That didn't sound creepy or ominous at all. The other option was to lose this village to the first thief that took the Heartstone, though." After a few more moments' thought, Richter asked, "How do I do it?"
"Simply will it, my lord."
Focusing upon the gem, he stared into its depths. He suddenly felt that he was being pulled into the stone, though he did not actually move. A slight tingle played across his skin. The sensation became focused upon the inside of his left wrist. He realized with a start that the Heartstone was gone.
"It is done,"
the remnant said in its deadpan voice. Looking at his wrist, Richter saw a silver-gray circle on his inner wrist. It had a swirl of gray smoke within its boundaries that seemed to move slightly as he stared at it. After a moment, the mark faded from view. He knew somehow he could summon it back if he desired.
"You have received a mark, Master of the Mist Village."
Making their way out of the tunnel, dawn seemed to be just breaking. The workers had not been idle. There were three piles at the base of the hill leading from the cave, one of items, one of weapons, and the other of armor. Richter was about to ask Futin to call a worker over, but he remembered what was said about the village being an extension of himself. Focusing on the nearest worker, he willed it to come closer. It promptly left its task and came to stand before him. Smiling, he said, "Futin, how do I analyze the worker?"
"You must gaze upon it. Focus until it becomes the only thing that exists. See past the external to the internal truth. This attention will draw its information to you."
Focusing upon the worker, he stared intently at it. Richter looked at the light gray swirls that slowly moved under its skin, the clear lines of its arms, head, torso, and legs. He gazed at its shapeless face, and suddenly he just knew.
"Congratulations, you have learned the skill Analyze. Cost 5 mana. You will be able to know information about other creatures simply by looking at them. The greater the difference in level between you and the target, the less effective your skill may be."
Richter wasted no time using his new skill.
"Mistworker, level 1, health 50 of 50, mana 0 of 0, stamina 400 of 400. This magic construct can change the lines of its body to form the right tool for any menial task. The mist-like properties of this construct have any physical damage received."
"I was able to do it, Futin, but the information is pretty basic."
"Yes, my lord. You will have to increase the level of the skill to obtain more information."
Pleased nonetheless, Richter let the worker return to its duties. The bodies had been dragged outside of the boundaries and placed within a pit the workers had dug. Grabbing a few water skins from the pile of items, he removed the stopper from each, pouring out a small amount of the contents. The first appeared to be water, as expected. The second he quickly cast aside, deciding not to ponder what the vile contents could be. The third, however, appeared to be oil. Moving over to the pit, he poured the contents over the bodies. Striking flint, Sion lit one of the leftover torches from the goblin camp and then cast it into the pit. After a short time, the flames were licking eagerly at the naked green forms. Giving one last order, Richter said, "Once the bodies are consumed, fill the pit with dirt again. I don't want to be reminded of these creatures."
"Is there anything else I can do, my lord?"
Futin asked in its deadpan voice. "Don't hesitate to advise me if you have something useful to say. Do your best to take care of the village and me. I want to be made aware of any major decisions, but in my absence, do your best to protect and grow the village."
"It will be done, my lord,"
the remnant answered. Richter and Sion began their trip back to the hearth tree. Chapter 12, Day 13, Shaban 1, 15,368 ABG. The journey back to the home of the sprites passed without incident. After several days of moving through the forest, they were greeted by the sight of the golden grasses of the glade. The hearth tree loomed in front of them. As before, the hearth mother seemed to know they were approaching and was waiting for them at the edge of the grass. She smiled at him with a look of contentment and peace. Richter smiled back and nodded his head slightly. "I have finished my quests. We traced the sickened animals to a goblin camp. There was a hobgoblin necromancer who was responsible for poisoning the forest and its inhabitants. Somehow this poisoning also gave it control over the wildlife. I do not know how, but the important thing is that it is dead. It will poison the forest no longer. The danger is past."
"I greatly appreciate all of your efforts, and for bringing our warrior home safely. In addition to your reward, I will give you a word of caution. Though those creatures were evil, it does not make them things. Robbing other creatures of their identity or gender may ultimately rob you of your goodness."
Her warning done, Hisako beckoned to some of the sprites behind her. Richter checked the prompts that had just appeared. "You have received 1,000 experience for Cleanse the Forest 1. You have received 3,000 experience for Cleanse the Forest 2. You have received 6,000 experience for Cleanse the Forest 3. You have reached level 5. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies, honor your allies, live! You have reached level 6. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! You have either characteristic points or skill percentage points to allocate from the previous level. Now that you have progressed again, you must allocate your points within the next week or they will randomly be assigned for you. Your relationship has improved with wood sprites from neutral to friendly.
"We made these while you were gone. I hope that they will serve you well."
Two sprites came forward, one holding a bow, the other holding a helmet and gloves. The bow was a beautiful chestnut recurve. The handle looked like deer hide, and the ends of the bow curved forward in a classic example of recurve design. Delicate carvings of leaves adorned both ends of the bow, almost alive in their realistic rendering. The gloves were made of the same pliable yet tough green material as the armor he already had. Silently, Richter reached out and took the weapon and armor. You have received Sprightly Helm, Defense plus 5, Durability 30 of 30, Item Class Uncommon, Quality above average, Type Light Armor, Weight 2.1 kilograms, Trait Max Vision Distance increased by 25%. You have received Gauntlets of the Wood Sprite, Defense plus 4, Durability 25 of 25, Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 1.3 kilograms. Type light armor. Trait ranged accuracy increased by 25%. Congratulations, you have obtained an entire set of matched armor. Sprite armor. Defense given by each piece increased by 25%. Special bonus, 50% less noise made while moving through forests. You have received Recurve Bow of the Wood Sprite. Damage, 14 to 19. Durability, 35 of 35. Item class, scarce. Quality, superb. Weight, 3.8 kilograms. Traits, plus 8 dexterity, plus 5 accuracy. Provides the sub-skill, focus. Congratulations, you have learned the sub-skill, focus. By expending stamina, you can zoom in on your target, making shots easier. This is a sub-skill of archery. Taking a firm grip on the bow, he sighted upon a branch at the edge of a clearing and brought it in line with his imaginary crosshairs. He invoked his new skill, and the branch zoomed in focus. He could now easily make out small details and see the veins of each leaf. Richter guessed that what he was seeing was magnified by 200%. As he held the increased view, he became aware of his stamina bar decreasing. At its current rate, he would completely exhaust his stamina in less than 30 seconds. As the bar got closer to empty, he felt the dizziness and exhaustion that he had felt at the end of the fight with the Goblin Chief. Releasing focus, the bar began to replenish slowly. After a few moments, the feeling of disorientation began to abate. A wonderful new sub-skill, but possibly dangerous if overused in the heat of battle. Bowing his head, Richter said, "These are gifts beyond measure. How can I repay you?"
"You have aided the forest. This is the purpose of our clan, to serve its will and interests. Speak no more of it," she said with a soft smile. "There is something else we need to discuss. You may have noticed our hearth tree is larger than the surrounding forest."
Smiling wryly, Richter said, "Yeah, it's a little hard to miss." The tree was the size of a small high-rise.
"I am the master of this place of power," Hisako said. "And as such, I can recognize other masters. My powers are of life, earth, and light."
Holding up her left wrist, a small circle appeared. While Richter's was silver and filled with mist that slowly swirled, the Hearthmother's was deep green with the figure of a tree. The branches seemed to wave in an unseen wind, the leaves gently shifting. Somehow, feeling it was the right thing to do, he held up his left wrist, and his mark appeared as well.
"Thank you for showing me trust," she said with a smile. "Your mark will be hidden from most, but any master of a place of power will be able to identify you if they get close enough. There is a glow in the center of the eyes. You can see mine if you look. Be careful of this. Being a master means that you have access to power, power that others will take if they can. You are now a player in the great game, but you are a target as well. Invest in the growth of both your village and your own power. Create a meaningful community, and be careful who and what you allow in. The decisions of today can bear fruit centuries in the future."
Smiling at her motherly tone, he thanked her for her advice. "I need people for my village, and I need to sell the skins and other treasure that I've found. I plan on traveling into the Kingdom of Eve. Hopefully there I can find a buyer for my goods and settlers who are willing to come with me for a fresh start."
"That is the closest human kingdom, and you can find almost anything there. Tread lightly when you go. I do not know what humans are like in your world, but here, while they can be generous and kind, they are often petty, greedy, and cruel. I would not easily tell anyone that you are a master, or where your village is located. And as I said, masters can recognize each other. You should stay away from the palace or other halls of influence."
"Is every settlement built on a place of power?" Richter asked.
"No, but most settlements that have grown to prominence did so because of the strength of their powers. I have not been into the human lands for more than a century. The capital city of Eve is called Law. It is built upon a confluence of fire, water, earth, and air. Most places of power that are taken over by human settlements have a balance of their forces. It may be because they have an equal likelihood to serve good or evil.
Huh. So be careful. Everywhere I go is dangerous, and I'm now a cosmic target. That's basically it, right? Richter asked.
The Hearth Mother walked closer and motioned for Richter to kneel down. He went on a knee and looked her in the eye. That was when she slapped him in the side of his head. He really needed to start being careful of letting small beings within striking distance.
Don't complain. It could always be worse, and nobody likes a crying baby. Not even the Hearth Mother, Hisako said.
Sion chuckled behind him and said, not quite under his breath, Rookie. Flaring his nostrils, Richter exhaled a deep breath, then gave a chuckle himself.
Yes, ma'am.
Standing back up, he turned to Sion. Well, my friend, I will miss your company. The sprite smiled at him.
No, you won't. I'm coming with you.
With a slightly confused half-smile on his face, Richter asked, Are you sure? In a sweeping gesture that started at his head and moved down towards his feet, Sion replied,
A big man like me belongs in the big city.
And the grin on his face grew wider. Hisako nodded in approval.
In the distant past, the people of the Mist Village and wood sprites of the Hearth Tree have been friends, even allies. I hope that we can be again.
Richter replied, I hope so too. I was concerned that you might not welcome me as a friend anymore. My village is on a ley line of dark magic.
It is true that many evil creatures are drawn to dark or death magic, but that does not make those powers inherently evil. Night is just as natural as day, and death will always be a part of life. Your actions will determine the character of your village, and you have earned my trust, Hisako said. Now is there anything else we can do to aid your journey?
Humbled by her faith in him, he smiled. I could use a way to transport goods to and from the city.
We can help with this, though it will take the rest of the day. Is there anything else?
She asked again. Sion stepped forward.
We have found an artifact of evil, Mother. I was hoping that you knew how to destroy it.
Richter unwrapped the staff, showing it to Hisako. For the first time, Richter saw a look of true anger on her face.
Drop that thing, she commanded.
Richter quickly complied, releasing it to tumble out of its wrappings. It fell, but did not strike the ground. The golden grasses wrapped around the staff. The grass wound so tightly that Richter could hear squeaking from the pressure. Some of the gold color leached from the grasses as they tried to crush the black wood. Brighter flashes of red color could be seen coming from the staff, almost as if it tried to free itself from the golden vice. A look of serious concentration was on Hisako's face. With a tightening of her jaw, she glared at the staff. Suddenly, there was a loud rumbling sound. A small tear opened in the ground, widening to 5 feet long and 1 foot wide. The grass bent, lowering the staff into the ground as the red pulses came faster and faster. The rent in the earth closed over the staff, and all was quiet for a moment before a boom came from beneath them, more felt than heard. Richter looked uneasily over the seemingly benign sea of golden grass that he now knew was a deadly, prehensile defense. Hisako exhaled a breath of relief. The Hearth Mother looked at Sion with tears in her eyes.
We have saved one.
A prompt appeared in Richter's vision. You have completed the quest, Destroy Evil's Weapon. A royal pixie chrysalis was recovered. This may have long-reaching consequences in the future. Reward, 1,000 XP.
It is done, Hisako continued. That thing was a greater evil than you know. I can see why you instinctively felt it needed to be destroyed, my son. It was not just a tool of evil. It was a corruption of good.
Sion looked at her in confusion. She wiped a single tear from her eye and said,
At the core of the staff was a royal pixie chrysalis.
Sion inhaled in shock.
Can it be true? Can you save it?
I don't understand. What's happening?
Asked Richter.
Sion may have told you that goblins were our racial enemies, As such, neither of our two races can normally abide the other, and aggressive qualities are increased on both sides. That is, partly because goblins usually possess a negative alignment, and wood sprites are normally positively aligned. Pixies are the opposite side of the coin. They are our natural allies, and bring a completion to our magic. It is said that every sprite born has half of a destiny, and each pixie born has the other half. Long ago, before I was born, there was a sickness that only affected pixies. Despite the combined efforts of the races of good, pixies were erased from the face of the land. That was what I have always thought, but we were wrong.
Her face radiated pure joy.
Finding this chrysalis is like finding the other half of our soul. Will you please relinquish the pixie into our care? We can channel our life magic into it and hopefully revive at least one of the species.
She looked at him with a pleading gaze.
Yeah, Richter said, taken aback by the depth of emotion in Hisako's voice.
He then immediately felt like a moron for not giving a better answer than, yeah, in such a pivotal moment.
Your relationship has improved with wood sprites from friendly to trusted. The relationship of the Mist Village has improved with wood sprites of the Hearth Tree from friendly to trusted.
Hisako's face shone like the sun. Her anger at seeing the staff had been replaced by pure joy.
Thank you for this precious gift. Rest with us, then start on your journey in the morning.
Their rations had run out the night before, so Richter welcomed a good meal. The Hearthmother turned and walked through the golden grass. As Richter, Sion, and other sprites followed her, he thought hopeful thoughts for the morrow.
Chapter 13, Day 14, Siobhan 2, 15,368 ABG. The sky began to lighten with colors of peach and amber. Sion and Richter once again stood at the boundaries of the meadow containing the Hearth Tree. Several dozen sprites stood with Hisako to see the two companions off.
Once you return to your village, make your way due west, Hisako said. After several weeks of travel, you should reach the boundary of the forest. There you will find a road. The other travelers you meet can direct you to the City of Law. Be careful. There are many dangers in the forest. We are on the northern side, and there shouldn't be many organized tribes between here and Eve. But sometimes the southern tribes send hunting parties up. They are not as kind as we are.
Turning to Sion, Hisako placed a cupped hand to his face.
Come back to us safely, my son.
Closing his eyes, he bowed his head.
Yes, mother.
Led by two sprites, a pair of ponies with saddlebags were brought to them. Checking the bags, Richter saw that they were filled with foodstuffs and other useful tools, including more sprite arrows of nature. It was a welcome sight, because they had only been able to recover a few after the fight with the goblins. Thanking Hisako a final time, they mounted the ponies and moved off into the forest. Riding in silence for the first 10 minutes, Richter then looked to Sion, asking,
"So, you're a prince, huh?"
"I don't want to talk about it,"
Sion replied curtly without turning his head.
Chuckling under his breath, Richter replied, "Whatever you say, your highness," and rode on next to his friend.
It took 3 days to get back to the village. Each night they scouted for herbs, and Sion began to teach him the rudiments of potion making. The tools that Sion used were too small to be of practical use for Richter, but he did still obtain the alchemy skill by assisting the sprite. Unfortunately, knowledge alone was not enough to increase his skill level, and he did not advance further than level 1 with 0% towards the next level. The peace of the ride also let him focus upon an area he had been ignoring, his point allocation. He did not want everything randomly allocated, and it had been almost a week since he had reached level 4. Based upon the battles he had fought so far, he would not last long in a stand-up fight. Each kill he had made had been greatly aided by either surprise or poison weakening his enemies. The large amount of damage that the bear caused with just a glancing blow worried him. It was clear that he needed more health,
At the same time, however, the power of both his imbue arrow and focus skills meant his mana and stamina also needed to be higher. In the past, it had always served his playing style better to be well-rounded anyway. Richter decided to examine each characteristic carefully. Strength. Improves damage with melee weapons or thrown weapons. Each point increases carrying capacity by 10 kilograms. Affects anything that requires brawn. For example, climbing, wrestling, and intimidation. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Agility. Improves accuracy with ranged or thrown weapons. Determines movement speed. Determines dodge. Determines balance. Affects ability to move without being detected. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Dexterity. Determines attack speed. Improves damage with ranged weapons. Improves reflexes. Improves accuracy of melee weapons. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Constitution. Determines health. Each point increases health by 10 points. Affects resistance to poison, illness, extreme temperature, etc. Affects stamina regeneration. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Endurance. Determines stamina. Each point increases stamina by 10 points. Affects ability to perform physical exertions at peak efficiency, for example, holding one's breath. Affects ability to ignore certain ill effects, for example, disease, starvation, dehydration, etc. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Intelligence. Determines mana. Each point increases mana by 10 points. Affects resistance to mental attacks. Affects effectiveness of certain skills. Reasoning improved. Increasing will provide small improvement of base intellect. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Wisdom. Determines mana regeneration. Affects magical resistance. Determines perception. Increasing will provide small improvement of mental fortitude. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Charisma. Determines the likelihood others will like you or want to interact with you. A higher score may open certain quests that would otherwise be locked. Other unknown effects to be discovered. Luck. It will affect you in a million different ways, or not. But as the man said, I'd rather be lucky than ugly. Each description was helpful, save the last. Of course, every game he had ever played had a crappy description for luck. He had 24 points to invest. He could definitely see the bonus from being a Chaos Seed coming in handy. He would theoretically be 50% more powerful than other humans at an analogous level. He decided to invest half of his points equally into Constitution, Endurance, and Intelligence, raising his health, mana, and stamina by 40 points each. As his current capabilities seemed based on ranged attacks and speed, at least for now, he decided to forego strength. Agility had already been increased, though it pained him to put points in a soft area like charisma. It was clear he could not look at his current situation as if he was playing a simple RPG. This was his life now. His upcoming interaction with a whole city meant that interpersonal interactions were going to be important. Also, the advice of the Hearthmother to make a community was something he took seriously. The comedy of having a 4-foot-tall older woman dictating his life wasn't anything new. His own mother was 5 feet of feisty fury. He invested 4 points in luck because, hey, what self-respecting southerner couldn't win a hand at Texas Hold'em? At that thought, he made a mental note to invent Texas Hold'em. He was sure he could make a fortune cleaning out the medieval rubes that seemed to live around here. He put 2 points into dexterity to get a bit more attack damage out of his bow, and hating every moment of the decision, he invested 6 points in charisma. Choosing yes on the final, "Are you sure?" prompt, he felt like he had just sacrificed 6 children. In addition to the points from his leveling, his exertions during his quest to cleanse the forest had given him +2 endurance, +1 strength, and +3 dexterity. Looking at his status page, he decided that despite his low level, he liked how he was rounding out. Name: Richter. Age: 24. Level: 6, 15%. Health: 140. Mana: 140. Stamina: 160. Strength: 11. Agility: 17. Dexterity: 26. Base 15, plus items, 11. Constitution, 14. Endurance, 16. Intelligence, 14. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 16. Luck, 14. Abilities, limitless. Gift of tongues. Skills, herb lore, level 2, 81% to next level, 100% affinity. Alchemy, level 1, 0% to next level, 100% affinity. Analyze, level 1, 5% to next level, 100% affinity. Stealth, level 3, 44 to next level, 100% affinity. Archery, level 4, 23% to next level, 100% affinity. Imbue arrow, level 1, 43% to next level, 100% affinity. Focus, level 1, 0% to next level, 100% affinity. Swordsmanship, level 1, 28% to next level, 100% affinity. Small blades, level 1, 0% to next level, 100% affinity. Light armor, level 2, 21% to next level, 100% affinity. Marks, Master of the Mist Village. Resistances, Mental, 5%, Spiritual, 5%. Race, Human, Chaos Seed. Reputation, level 1. Who are you again? Alignment, neutral. Languages, common, sprite. Seeing the 100% affinity after each skill seemed superfluous in the light of his limitless ability. With a bit of focus, he found he could change his settings so that his affinities weren't listed. He smiled when he looked again and saw that his status page was much more streamlined. The last thing he had to decide was where to put the proficiencies. He had a total of 100% to increase any skill in groupings of 25%. His strongest asset was now Imbue Arrow, making it an easy decision. He placed all 100% into the skill and was rewarded with a prompt. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 2 in Imbue Arrow. Plus 5% damage. Plus 5% speed of mana flow. One curious thing was that both his focus and imbue arrow skills were offset on his status page. He had seen the same thing when examining Scion's status. Now that he was thinking about it, Richter remembered that both had been called sub-skills. Asking the sprite about it, the explanation given was fairly simple. Sub-skills were dependent on another main skill. As such, increasing the sub-skill would increase the main skill slightly, but the sub-skill could never be of a higher level than the main skill. Richter nodded in understanding, and they rode on. Midday on the third day after leaving the Hearth Tree, they arrived back at the Mist Village. The trip was much faster now that they knew exactly where they were going. As they came upon the ruins he was now the master of, Richter chuckled silently and thought to himself, "Could my life be any more manga?" He was pleasantly surprised, however, as he looked out over the progress that had been made. A trench lined the outside of the ruined wall, 6 feet wide and 6 feet deep. The dirt from the trench had been lined up and packed on top of the stone remnants, creating a 4-foot earthen wall. Hard-packed dirt led across the trench in one area, leading to a break in the crumpled wall. Outside the trench, there were stacks of chopped-down trees with the branches cut off and piled to the side. 3 piles of stone were also present, arranged by size, presumably the loose rocks from inside the wall. All of the bodies had, of course, been removed, but even the stone had been scrubbed clean of some of the black bloodstains. Only a trace of the previous foul odor remained. What was before him now was a plateau of grass pockmarked with freshly turned earth where the trees had been cut down and then the stumps removed. True to his instructions, Futin appeared several feet away and glided to a stop in front of him.
"Welcome back, my lord."
Richter smiled. "You've done well, Futin. How was our village?"
"We have had some exciting developments in the last week, my lord,"
the remnant said. The content of his message contrasted sharply with his emotionless tone. Richter took Hisako's advice to heart and decided to personify the floating orb as he rather than it.
"Though we cannot erect external buildings, we have collected raw resources, as you can see. I have also explored the floor where you claimed mastery of the village. I have found several useful rooms. If you will come with me, sir..."
Futin began gliding away at the speed of a normal walk. Climbing the hill to the cave entrance, Richter and Sion followed him inside. Gray lights cast a gentle glow over the tunnel. Periodically placed along the top of the hallway, globes of glowing mist could be seen.
"Where did these come from?" Richter asked.
"They are one of the settlement spells open to you, my lord. The mana requirement for the mist lights is negligible. Once cast, they last for a year at a time, so I took the liberty."
The tunnel opened into the chamber of his grand fight. The ceiling arched above all of their heads, this time illuminated by mist globes which clearly showed vaulted ceilings. The blood had been cleaned from the floors along with much of the grime. A massive mosaic could now be seen in the floor consisting of four separate spirals that met in the middle. Each spiral was a different color. One spiral was gold and the opposing spiral black. The other two were blue and clear, respectively. The center of the mosaic was a dark gray diamond. Opposite from where they entered the room, a staircase could be seen leading downward. The other entrances were also well lit.
"On this floor is a meeting hall, larder, storage room, armory, barracks and treasury, and several other empty rooms. The stairway leads to the first floor of the catacombs."
Richter had been walking around the mosaic, examining it. He nodded along as Futin spoke, but looked up sharply at the last.
"Treasury, did you say?"
Realizing he had not asked aloud, most likely because his mouth had started watering, he tried again.
"Treasury, did you say?"
"Yes, my lord. I was going to show you that."
"Let's go now," Richter said, cutting the remnant off.
The remnant changed direction, gliding to a hallway on the left. At the end of the hallway was a solid door. It appeared to be made of a steel with dusky black swirls set in the metal. Richter could see a clear circle of glass inlaid at head height.
"What is it made of?" Richter asked, running his hand along the metal.
"This is Titan steel. Not harder and heavier than Mithril, but still able to withstand a massive amount of damage."
"Well, open it, Futin."
"I cannot, my lord."
"You said you had exciting news," Richter said in confusion.
"Yes, my lord. The news is that I had found the treasury."
Richter glared at the floating gray orb. The orb just floated, impervious to his stare. "It would be a lot more exciting if you could open the door."
"That is why I was going to leave this door until the tour," Futin said.
Fighting the urge to create a neck for the orb so he could strangle it, Richter said, "Are you telling me that I have a treasury, but I can't get into it?"
"No, my lord."
Richter glared at the orb again, waiting for it to say more. He stared at it until he realized the futility of having a staring contest with an eyeless orb. Meanwhile, Sion had fallen to the floor, rolling on his back, laughing. Transferring his stare to the sprite, it seemed to have about as much effect as it had on the orb.
"Then how do I get in?"
His voice was nearly a shout.
"Simply hold your mark in front of the clear circle on the door, my lord."
"Why didn't you tell me that at first?"
"I was going to cover it during the tour, my lord."
One eye starting to twitch, Richter said, "If I ever find out that you're messing with me, I will find a way to turn you pink."
"Of course, my lord,"
the remnant replied in his almost deadpan voice. Walking up to the door, Richter raised his left arm and held his mark up to the glass circle. A soft voice spoke inside of his mind.
"Do you wish the door to open, master?"
"Yes," he thought back.
"As you wish."
A sound came from behind the door like the withdrawing of bolts. It then swung open, and Richter was greeted by the sight of an octagonal room with shelves lining the walls. Empty shelves. Sighing heavily, he swallowed the greedy lump in his throat and moved into the room. As he stepped in, he realized that the shelves were not completely empty. Three small items were carefully positioned against the right side of the room, near the door. He hadn't been able to see them until he was inside the room. Moving to the first item, he opened it, and a mix of copper, silver, and gold coins greeted his gaze. Even though the chest was only the size of a loaf of bread, there were hundreds of coins inside. There had to be dozens of gold coins present, which were worth $100 each by themselves. Doing a little internal jig, he moved to the second chest. It held a scattering of gems, which might be worth more than even the coins. Yep, his mouth was definitely watering now. Almost unable to tear his eyes from the second chest, he moved on. The third item was a book. Picking it up, he attempted to read it, but the words swam in his vision. Examining the prompt associated with it, he saw why he was having trouble. You have found Magic Book. Groaning in frustration, Richter said, Futin, identify this. The orb flared, and Richter looked again. You have found Book of Weak Charm. You can convince an enemy that they are your friend. In battle, they will fight for you. Casting this upon a creature lowers their regard for you after the spell wears off. Requirement, intelligence 16, charisma 18. Definitely a useful spell. Plenty of melee battles and games that Richter had played had been won by taking control of enemy units and making them fight each other. Turn your enemies' strengths against them. He was pretty sure he had heard that in a Tarantino movie. It was a shame that he hadn't met the requirements yet. It was certainly a priority, though. It also showed that charisma was more versatile than he had initially thought. Despite the somewhat threadbare status of the treasury, this was certainly a start. Putting the book in his pack, he then picked up both chests, carrying them under his arms. Leaving the treasury, he walked back to the center of the chamber. As he walked away from the octagonal room, he heard the door closing with a solid boom and the locks snapping back into place. Laying both chests down in the central chamber, Richter asked Futin, What else should I know?
The armory is this way, my lord.
Following the orb, Richter and Sion made their way into another hallway. Again, he was greeted by a door, though this door was only wood banded with iron. It also possessed a clear circle at head height. Raising his wrist, he thought, Open. No voice chimed inside of his head this time, though his intent was apparently clear as the door swung open. Moving into the room, lines of swords, axes, and bows sat under massive amounts of cobwebs. Definitely the armory that time had forgotten. He closed the door and walked back. I'm sure there are many things to explore, but is there anything crucial that I need to know?
I have followed your instructions, my lord. I have had the workers gathering raw materials and working on basic physical defenses. I would advise caution, however, considering that you have not instituted any of the magical defenses.
Richter looked blankly at the orb, wanting clarification, until realizing that, yet again, an eyeless orb might not be so good at picking up facial expressions. What defenses? He asked.
You have access to the village interface, my lord. You simply need to focus upon the options which are available.
Richter selected the icon for his village. A sprawling list of pull-down menus filled Richter's vision. Realizing how long this might take, he closed the menu in a fit of annoyance. Can I get a chair? A short time later, both he and Sion were settled into the barracks. Really, just a line of stone beds in a long room. There were no creature comforts, but it would serve. The ponies were tacked outside where they could graze. Sion settled down for the night, while Richter laid back and browsed through the interface. He first looked into defenses. It simply showed the status of the current physical defenses. Next, he checked enchantments. This showed a host of options. Most were grayed out, but two at the top were available. Concealing Mist and Confusing Mist. Concealing Mist. Cost, 400 mana. Upkeep, 200 mana per day. Generates a thick mist field at the borders of the village, which extends to the boundaries of your domain. You may grant immunity to this effect to those of your choosing. Attacking or taking hostile action against a creature will negate the effects for a short period. Confusing Mist. Cost, 800 mana. Upkeep, 400 mana per day. Generates a thick mist field, which extends to the boundaries of your domain. causes disorientation that will lead affected creatures in random directions. You may grant immunity to this effect to beings of your choosing. Attacking or taking hostile action against a creature will negate the effects for a short period.
The enchantments were passive, but he could easily see the power of them.
What does it mean by the boundaries of the domain, Futin?
Richter asked.
You are master of more than just the village, my lord. Your power also extends 10 miles in all directions. The boundaries will increase as you increase the village level.
You have mentioned increasing the village level several times. Just how do we do it?
There are multiple requirements, my lord. You can see them on your interface.
Letting his eyes unfocus again, he began searching. Ultimately, he found the tab, Settlement Level.
Level 1. Total mana, 1,000. Mana regenerates at 41.67. Total mana /24 per hour. Boundary of surrounding lands. 10 miles from Great Seal. Requirements for level up. Increase population to at least 100. Build 10 freestanding buildings. Master 3 levels of the catacombs. Finish 4 quests of the Mist Village.
Where do I get quests from?
I am tied to this place of power, my lord, Futin said. As such, I can read the needs of this land. There is one quest that is available now. As time goes on, I will tell you of other needs of the village. You may also find information on quests in your master's interface.
You have been offered a quest. Unlock your power 1. Your village will increase your power, but you must care for it in turn. Currently, there is a local dungeon that needs to be cleared out. Reward, unlock one of the powers, yes or no?
As if there was any question.
If Richter was right, this quest would increase his magic immensely. Choosing yes, he looked at Futin.
Any idea how I can find it?
I can move freely within the boundaries of the village. I will guide you.
How about it? He asked Sion. Ready to kick some monster butt?
That's what I do, his friend answered with a grin.
In the morning, then, Richter responded with a grin of his own. Chapter 14, Day 18, Shaban 6, 15,368 ABG. Awakening early, Richter told Futin not to summon the workers today. This was somewhat of a sacrifice, though a short-lived one. Futin had continued his report until Richter had fallen asleep. One of the items discussed was that an iron mine had been found, which Richter was happy to hear. Once he rubbed the sleep from his eyes, Richter told Futin that he agreed that defenses should be put in place to protect the village. Summoning the workers could wait until an enchantment was cast. They walked outside and stood near the earthwork wall. Richter opened his interface. Prior to casting the spell, however, a thought occurred to him. The purpose of concealing mist and confusing mist spells are to hide the village. If there's a well-defined border of magical mist, though, won't people be able to figure out the location of the village by just mapping the boundaries? Richter asked the remnant.
The mist slowly builds along the boundaries of our territory, my lord. Have you ever been able to mark exactly when and where mist starts? I assure you, the enchantment is quite effective, but it is not foolproof. Also, to map the boundaries of the mist would mean walking for more than 60 miles. It is a possibility that a master mage or someone with a strong item could dispel the enchantment, at least temporarily, or a being with high magical resistance might be able to ignore its effects. So while I advise that you not put all of your faith in the enchantment, my lord, I assure you that it is very useful,
Futin replied. Nodding assent, Richter reactivated the interface, bringing up the enchantments available. He had thought about it last night and decided the longer his village remained secret, the better. Even though using 400 mana was a steep upkeep, it was worth it. It was also worth noting that the village mana regenerated. At a rate of the total mana divided by the hours in the day, 1,000 divided by 24, the 400 would be replenished after about 10 hours. Also, he didn't really have another use for the mana right now. He selected Confusing Mist and activated it. Richter felt a pressure build within his body, feeling like he was being filled with cool, wet wind. It reminded him of standing on the boardwalk, watching a storm roll in from the ocean. The feeling built until it seemed to press against the thin boundaries of his skin. All of a sudden, a roiling sea of gray mist exploded from his body in all directions. It billowed and flowed, building in speed and obscuring everything in sight. As suddenly as it started, the flow from his body stopped. The mist continued to roll back until it reached the edges of the village. There it hung like a gray curtain, making any visualization beyond 5 to 10 feet from the edge near impossible. What happened to my immunity to the mist? Richter thought. What good is this spell if I blind myself too? Just as he was thinking that the spell might be more trouble than it was worth, his vision suddenly sharpened, and he could see just as well as before the spell was cast. Strangely, he could also see the mist, though it in no way inhibited his vision. Now satisfied with the results of the spell, he nodded happily to himself and told Feuden to lead the way to the dungeon. As the three of them moved west out of the village, they crossed into the mist, pulling the ponies behind them, though they emptied the saddlebags first. After 10 feet, they were completely surrounded by walls of gray. The mist posed no problem for Richter, or Feuden, apparently. It was only a few minutes more, however, when he heard Sion call out to him. Richter! Where are you? Looking back, Richter saw him clearly only 6 or 7 feet away. Taking a step closer, he saw Sion's eyes orient on him sharply. It is like you just appeared out of thin air, the sprite said. That is so strange. I could see you clearly. Let's test this for a moment. Try to follow me. Stepping away, he moved forward, but in less than a minute, Sion called out for him to stop again. Looking back, the sprite once again seemed to be scanning his surroundings. Richter walked towards him and became visible once he was within a few feet. What happened? I was following you. First you became indistinct, and then I could not see you at all. I would have sworn that to find you, I would have had to go well to the right of the direction that you just came back from. Did you move to the side after I lost you? No, Richter replied. I came straight back. This new enchantment is more powerful than I thought. Wait a moment. Opening the village interface, he worked through the options until reaching Confusing Mist. Focusing upon the tab, he found the section for Immunity. Thinking of Sion, his name appeared under the drop-down list. Glancing at his companion, Richter saw the sprite's eyes widen. With this magic, none will be able to stand against us. We will see them from a distance while they will constantly be confused and separated, Sion exclaimed. Richter nodded happily. They both followed Feuten deeper into the forest. They walked along the base of the mountain that the village was nestled against for half a day. Their pace was slow in light of the thick undergrowth of the untouched forest. The rocky prominence lowered in elevation until it turned into a series of wooded hills. They noticed a fair amount of wildlife as they made their way forward, but despite the mist concealing them, many bounded away as soon as they came in sight. Feuten, why does it seem like the animals can see us? Richter asked.
Spells like Confusing Mist target a specific level of consciousness. Much like your weak charm spell, Concealing Mist will work on humanoids, but not with lesser thought forms, such as in animals, or vastly different thought patterns, such as with certain monsters. Higher beings would also probably be immune.
Definitely good to know, Richter thought. He had put a large amount of faith into the defensive enchantments, but it turned out that he wasn't as safe as he thought he had been. How much further? They were just cresting a small hill. At the trough between the hill they were on and the next were two large slabs of stone leaning against one another. The dark entrance of a cave could be seen between them, leading into the interior of the hill. Of greater importance were the two skeletons aiming arrows in his direction. Richter immediately dropped to the ground. Both arrows flew well above him, and neither seemed particularly well aimed. Raising his head, he saw each skeleton had knocked another arrow and was scanning the hill he and Sion were lying upon. Thankfully, the mist seemed to be concealing their position. It was only his talking that had given away their general position. They backed down from the top of the hill until the cave entrance was once again hidden from sight.